Good to see everyone. Hope you've had a wonderful week. I want to welcome all of our guests to Windsong. Thank you for worshiping with us today. I also want to let you know that if you have any questions about who we are, what we do, what we believe, my door is open. I'll be happy to visit with you. We're in the middle of a series of lessons, How Do You Know You're a Christian? Coming from 1 John. And today we're looking specifically at you test your teachers. In preparation for this lesson, I came across a story that Mickey Moore shared in the Christian Reader. I'd like to share that with you. One night as we were packing up after a concert, we sent a young woman to pick up our children from the home they were staying in. Since the children didn't know her, I told her to give our son, Trevor, our secret family code word so he would know she was authorized to pick them up. A little later, I received a phone call. Trevor refused to leave because the woman hadn't given the right word. The mix-up was on my part. I had said the code word was dinosaur monster, which my son informed me was incorrect. It's dinosaur, he said. Are you sure? I was certain it was dinosaur monster, I replied. I'm sure, Trevor said confidently. Well, okay, son, I carried on. You're probably right, but it's okay for you to come back to the church with this lady. There was a long silence on the other end of the phone. Then Trevor said, Who is this? It's me, your father, Mickey Moore. Now get in the car and come on. All right, he replied and hung up. Mickey says this. He says, It was an odd feeling being interrogated by my six-year-old son. He knew the word, and even though he was given the words that were very close to the real thing, they weren't true, and he knew the difference. That's what we're talking about today. Words that are sometimes very close to the real thing, but aren't exactly true. And being able to know the difference. John says that one way that you can be certain that you are a child of God is that you listen very closely to what teachers teach you. In fact, you listen so closely that you test them, you examine them. You consider what they are saying to see if they really are speaking on behalf of God, or if they're speaking on behalf of themselves or something else. If you would please stand for the reading of the Word of God from 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is the way to find out if they have the Spirit of God. If a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ became a human being, that person has the Spirit of God. If a prophet does not acknowledge Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he is going to come into the world, and he is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won your fight with these false prophets because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. These people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God. That is why those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. Thank you. Be seated. You test your teachers, you see. And that's what John says to do. Whenever someone claims to speak or teach or preach, listen closely to what they say. Be prepared to examine them, to test them. And he gives some very good reasons. You test your teachers because not every teacher is to be believed. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. Now this verse follows the verse that reads this way. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. We looked at that verse last week that says, we know that God lives in us by the Spirit He gave us because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself, lives in us. And then He says, don't believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. Some of your translations, if you're looking in your Bibles, will read, don't believe every spirit. The New Living Translators here have done us a favor here and tried to help us understand what He means by that. He's saying, He's not saying, well, don't believe every ghost you see or every apparition or spirit being. He's talking about people. Teachers, preachers, prophets, anyone who claims to stand and speak and teach in the name of God. He says, do not believe everyone who claims to speak. We're not to accept what somebody says as true simply because they are standing up and saying, this comes from the Bible. Or this is what God's Word means. Or this is what it says. Because there are going to be some people who are going to be claiming to speak God's Word and not. Many false prophets have gone out into the world, he says. Jesus warned his generation this way. He says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. So we are to test our teachers because not every teacher is to be believed. Not every teacher on everything is to be believed. We are to put them to the test. That's the first step John offers here. Then he says we're to test our teachers to determine if they are from God. You must test them to see if the spirit they have comes from God. Test them. To put them to the test. To examine them closely. To examine what they are saying. And our translation here says to see. Some of your other translations may say to discern. If the spirit they have or if what they are saying is coming from God. Test them to discern. This is the purpose behind it. To make sure that what they are saying, that what they are teaching is actually coming from God. Not from a personal opinion. Not from church tradition. Just because it's something that has been taught or something that has been said or something that has been believed in the churches of Christ, that doesn't mean it's true. What matters is this what God's Word says? Is this person speaking for God the words of God? And we are to test them or to examine them to discern whether or not they're speaking for God. I mean, what are we supposed to do in the religious world at large? What are we supposed to do today? What do we say about the conflicting messages we hear about God and His Word? What do we do about the various messages? You can go to one church on Sunday and they can say one thing about here's what you've got to do to be saved. And you can go to another church and they can say something entirely different about here's what you've got to do to be saved. And this one really is contrary, if not contradicts, this one. The laws of thought, the very basic reasoning that enables us to communicate tells us they can't both be true. It's impossible. What are we to do with that? What are we to do with the multitude of religions and theologies that are out there on every corner, people teaching and preaching just about anything? We cannot ignore. In our religiously pluralistic society, in the world in which we live today, we cannot ignore the necessity for being able to discern and see if what someone is saying is God's Word. Is God's Word. And that means you need to be examining and discerning if what I am saying is God's Word. I encourage your discernment. I encourage your questioning. Allow me to add a line to that. If you wish to question, be certain of your facts. Because I can't think of a time when I stand and speak that I'm not. That doesn't mean I'm infallible. I'm going to make mistakes. But I can't see myself intentionally leading someone away from the truth about anything. Make sure you are aware of what the Word says, and John will talk a little bit more about that. We're also to test our teachers because many false teachers are out there. There are many false prophets in the world. From the very beginning of the preaching of the gospel, from the very beginning of it, there has always been people who would like to alter the preaching of the gospel, who would like to change it, who would like to pervert it, some even destroy it. There are many false teachers, he says, that have gone out into the world. They have always been among us. There has never been a time in the history of Christianity when there weren't false teachers. From the earliest Christians, there were people who were Jews who were trying to infiltrate the church and say, yes, it's the grace of Jesus Christ, it's the gospel of Christ with the law of Moses. It's always been that way. There's always been someone, somewhere, wanting to change what God says and lead people away from the truth rather than closer toward it. The Apostle Peter saw this coming too, not just John. In 2 Peter 2, he says this, talking about a previous generation initially, but false prophets arose among the people. Just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and many will follow their sensuality. Because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Peter says, look, even among the brethren, there are going to be people who are going to come in and secretly introduce destructive heresies. We need to test our teachers because there are many false teachers out there. And I don't mean outside of the church, I mean within it. Peter's not talking about those without it. And neither is John. We also need to test our teachers to determine what they say about Jesus. This is the way to find out if they have the Spirit of God. If a teacher acknowledges that Jesus Christ became a human being, that person has the Spirit of God. He says, in short, pay attention to what they're saying about Jesus. Here's a fundamental, basic, foundational thing that you need to be sure you're hearing. What do they say about Jesus if he acknowledges that Jesus Christ became a human being? Have they affirmed that Jesus was God eternally, that he was the Son, and that the Son became a man? That Jesus was, like John said in the Gospel of John chapter 1, became flesh. The Creator became a creature. Is that what transpired? the one who is from God. And he says, look, we've told you the truth about Jesus all along. He's mentioned it earlier in this letter. We're communicating to you what we saw, what we heard, what everything that we experienced with the Lord, we share with you. And we're here to tell you this about Him. This is who Jesus is. This is how He came to earth. We've got to ask ourselves, whenever someone is teaching about Jesus, does that person teach what the apostles taught? Does he teach what that first and second generation group of Christians taught and that we have recorded for us in the New Testament through inspiration? There's a movement to say, you know what, doctrine isn't important. If doctrine isn't important, then there is no way to know the difference between what is false and what is true. If doctrine is not important, and there's no way to know the difference between what is false and what is true, it doesn't really matter what is false and what is true. And if it doesn't really matter what is false and what is true, then you can never really know what to believe or practice. And if you can never know what to believe or practice, then you know what? We can just do away with 1 John. We can say, you know what? I don't like this. There are people in the modern world that would have us say, you know what? Jesus is a way. He's one way. He's not God in the flesh and the way, the truth, and the light. He can't be, because that would necessarily negate the possibility of the followers of Islam being in heaven. And that would negate the possibility of the followers of Buddha being in heaven. And if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if that is really true, don't you realize how closed-minded that is and how ridiculous that is? John says, the way you can tell if someone has the Spirit of God or not, a very foundational, basic way, is to see what do they say about Jesus. Do they acknowledge that Jesus became a human being, that God became flesh? If you acknowledge that, if you realize that, if you accept that, and that is the foundation of your theology, you're in good company. You're in good company. Then he says we should test our teachers, because those who teach falsely about Jesus are antichrists. Just to make sure that his audience understood as he penned these words, he says, if a teacher does not acknowledge Jesus, that is, that he came in the flesh as God, that person is not from God. Spell it out. Spell it out plainly. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he's coming into the world, and he is already here. Who is Jesus Christ? At one of the lectures during lectureship this year, one of the keynote speakers played a video that was a man on the street interview. Who is Jesus Christ? Some people gave them blank stares. Some said he was a prophet, a good moral teacher, a good moral philosopher. Some said he was God's son. So a lot of things. And the atmosphere in our world today is, well, anybody can believe whatever they want to believe about Jesus. And you know what? God does not take that right away from them. They can believe whatever they want to believe. But only one thing is true about him. If a teacher does not acknowledge Jesus, that person is not from God. And he has the spirit of the Antichrist. So saying he's a great moral philosopher, saying he's a great teacher, and denying him the status of God in the flesh, God's Son, is not simply a matter of, well, we have a difference of theological opinion. John says, no, it's considerably more serious than that. And then he says, you test your teachers because we belong to God. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won your fight with these false prophets. Let's just stop a second. Do you live with the sense? Do you live with the knowledge? Do you live with the comfort that you belong to God? That you are owned by God? That you are possessed? You are His possession by God. He lives in you. You live in Him. You are possessed by Him. You are owned. And you have already won your fight with these false prophets because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. John was talking to some Christians who were having to deal with some of their own brethren saying Jesus was not God in the flesh. That the flesh is evil and God couldn't have anything to do with it. And that maybe the Spirit of God came into Jesus at His baptism, and maybe the Spirit of God left Jesus before His crucifixion. Maybe. But born God in the flesh? Mm-mm. He says, you have already overcome these people. These people belong to this world. You belong to God. People who do not say what is true about Jesus belong to this world. You belong to God. So they speak from the world's viewpoint as the world listens to them. We should not expect. We should not expect the world to teach anything different. We should not expect anything different from people who really aren't children of God. We should expect them to do what they have always done since the first century. Deny the truth about Jesus. Are you testing your teachers? Are you making sure that what they say lines up with the Word of God? Brothers and sisters, that is why it is so important, more so, I think, than any time in the history of the church, for us to know what God's Word says. It is not possible to spend too much time in Bible study. It is not possible to spend too much time in too many adult Bible classes. It's not possible to be exposed to the Word too much. You've got to know what the Word says in order to discern if what you're hearing is coming from it. Are you testing your teachers? Make sure they're teaching the Word of God. We don't know when we come together what's on the hearts, in the minds of those who are here. You may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You may be convicted and convinced of that. The New Testament teaches us something else that is required. You've got to be immersed, baptized is the New Testament word, in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Because that is where you put on Christ. That's where you are clothed with Him and you become a child of God. Have you experienced that today? If not, the baptistry is ready. We have clothes. If you need to respond, come now as we stand and sing.